Bible says, Genesis 12:1, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran, and he took his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot and all the possessions that they had accumulated and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh in Shechem, and at that time the Canaanites were in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on towards a hill of east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Lord, we come before you this morning. And Lord, there are many of us who face challenges, Lord, in our lives, as Pastor Dave referenced. Putting on a happy face and challenges roaring within ourselves. Lord, there is promises that you have for us, Lord. Promises for a hope and a future. Lord, promises of inheritance. Lord, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we ask that you would be glorified in our midst, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. That we could trust you, Lord. Begin to trust those people around us. We might step into health and healing. In Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Well, anybody got challenges in their life? That's it. Just these people. Okay. Oh, I got two hands from somebody. All right. I got enough challenge for both of you. All right. We got some challenges in our house. My son has an iPad. How many of you have an iPad in the home? Or iPhone, right? It was a catastrophic day when Joe brought out his iPad mini and the screen was shattered. Oh my. Have you experienced that?
Yeah.
Oh yes, it's like, oh no, my music is gone, my video, everything is gone, everything has changed. And so Joe, I said, hey Joe, we can fix this thing. And so we looked online, figured out how to fix that thing, and ordered up a brand new screen for it. And it was like $25. Thinking, how cheap is that? That's what I said. Is that all? And so Joe had taken it, and we looked at how to do it and got a heat gun out and stripped off the old digitizer and the screen and everything. And we got the new screen in, came in the mail and expectation, and pull it out. And he starts putting it together, and he says, Dad, I've broken it. I go, what are you talking about? He goes, well, look, here's this part. I just pulled it off and it just busted. And I started looking at it and he's frustrated. And I started looking at it online. I go, no, we just ordered the wrong screen. We need one with the IC chip and the home button on it. He's like, oh, okay. So we button that one up, shoot it back, get credit for that one, order another one, and it comes, and it's all good. He goes, well, the home button's a little bit messed up, but we can make that work. That'll be okay. Puts it all together, and he's feeling good, and he says, Dad, it doesn't work. So I'm talking to the guy, you know, and it's like, well, it could be malfunctioning, whatever. So and there's like 30 screws that hold this thing together. And some of them are the size, I kid you not, of a piece, not a kernel, but a piece of pepper, you know, that comes out of your pepper. I mean, they are so, I mean, I couldn't even see them. And he's in there and he's doing all this stuff. So he's bummed again. He's glued this one down, so he has to unglue it, takes it all apart. He goes, Dad, I didn't plug it in. So now he plugs it in, and it turns on. He's got the 30 little screws, you know, the size of a pepper. Puts it all down, and you know he's got to charge it because it won't do anything until it's charged. So he's charging. He comes back disgusted. The screen doesn't work, Dad. It is busted. The touch screen, you know, doesn't touch. It turns on and off. That's it. It's all plugged in. And he's going, I can't fix. I'm bummed. You know, it's just, I can't do it. I can't do it. And I said, Joe, it's okay. We'll send it back. We'll get one that's not broken. And we'll take care of it. And he goes, Dad, I just can't do it. And I said, it's okay. It's just not fixed yet. Abram called in the scriptures here, is given a promise by God. He is 75 years old and is saying that his offspring are going to inherit the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, the land that the Canaanites are in. And it is 75 years. He leaves everything he knows, and he goes to Canaan, and he gets there, and it is 25 years before he even has an heir. And you might be thinking he might get a little bit frustrated. Amen? It is 500. He says, here's the land. I'm going to give it to you and your offspring. It's 500 years before his offspring take the promised land. And you'd be thinking, that's a long way. Just not fixed yet. In process. Going to get there. Amen?
Amen?
We are talking about finding focus for 2014. Anybody got the new bulletin? It's a bulletin for today and for next week. Pastor Dave is going to be preaching on that, and we are going to be starting some things about getting fixed, and one of them is celebrate recovery. And you know what? We're not really going to get fixed until we see Jesus face to face. Amen? Because then we're going to know and we're going to be known and everything is going to be fabulous. And until then, we are, yeah, glory. And until then, we are in process. And realistically, in our lives, there is basically three positions that we can take in our lives. And we can be moving ahead, we can be falling behind, or we can be stuck in the middle. We had this annual business meeting on Wednesday, and many of you are progressing in life and are moving ahead and are finding victories and overcoming the challenges. And I put this organizational, or I passed this out, and I didn't put it up on the screen because I didn't have it, but all these positions here are all filled with people that are in this church that are progressing in their lives and having an impact. Amen? Now, you look around and say, wow. You're progressing. You're making an impact. There is a difference in falling behind. Because Pastor Dave talked about coming in here and just being tore up on the inside, putting on a happy face. And realistically, we got folks that come in and realistically, they're not moving ahead. They're not even stuck. They are falling behind, and there is so much tragedy in their lives. But you show up and still kind of make it look good. We see a lot of people that are in crisis, that are in critical situations, that are falling back and back. And there was a guy came in Friday talking with him, jumping up and down, and said, hey, look, I got a place you can go, a year-long rehab. We can hook you up, but you got to want to do it. You got to fight for that. And 3 hours later, he is passed out, literally laying on the corner right in front of the church sign as all the kids are coming out of the school. Crisis. Should you be moving ahead? You can be falling behind, or you can be stuck. Today we're going to be talking about getting unstuck. Amen. Taking a look at what it means to be stuck and just not be fixed yet. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's see where we're at here. Two ways to be stuck. Let me read from you in Ephesians chapter 6. Because you can be stuck, and you can, I'll give you both blanks right now. You can be leaning forward, or you can be leaning back. And you know, leaning forward, you're like ready to move, ready to progress, ready to take some steps, or you can be like leaning back going, whoa. Talk about why you might be leaning forward but not moving. Apostle Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Does that sound good? Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. That means that you have an enemy who is arrayed against you and against your family and against those people that you care for. that he has a scheme and a strategy to destroy you and have you tag along with him for an eternity in hell. Less than attractive. Can I get a witness on that? He says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, because you have all these enemies arrayed against you, powerful, he says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you see evil running around here? A lot of evil running around. When the day of evil comes, you may be able to what? Stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Sometimes, the best you can do is stay still. Amen. You are in the battle. You are getting beat. He talks about the armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, all the sword of spirit, all these things. And at the end of this great mighty attack, the best you can do is to be standing. So perhaps you haven't had any forward progress in a while. But you're leaning ahead. And you are taking the attack of the enemy that is coming. And you are in the Word, and you are in the Spirit, and you are standing strong. Your arms are linked with those people that are around you. You are doing fine. Yeah. Another way, you might be leaning forward. Jesus says, sorry, I forgot that scripture. All men will hate you because of me. See, it's not just spiritual challenges that you're going to run into. There's going to be some people around you that hate you just because you love the Lord. And they're going to come at you, they're going to try and chop your feet out, and at the end, stand. The other aspect of standing still or not making progress or being stuck in one spot is sometimes you are preparing for the future. Pastor Dave talked about 8 days, a week from tomorrow, Celebrate Recovery starts. And there's all kinds of preparations that are taking place, but nothing is moving yet. Amen? Sometimes you are taking a look at a new venture. Sometimes you're getting training. I remember when I went to Bible college, it's just like, man, I can't go to Bible college. All these people are perishing. People say, look, sometimes you just have to take some time to be prepared for what the Lord is calling you to do. You will not be making progress, but you will be preparing for progress. Amen? And there are some of you that are in this position that you are ready. You might be on the leadership team for Celebrate Recovery. Look at all this stuff. Overworking, overeating, abuse, pornography, lying, alcohol, overspending, grief. That's a list, amen? Codependency, guilt, hurtful relationships, drugs, rage, divorce, gambling, sexual addictions, anxiety, anger, the need to control, past procrastination, and fear. And that's not all they deal with. That's just the list that they could fit on the picture there. So with all that stuff, they're getting ready to move, ready to progress. So you might be not moving, but you are leaning forward, and you're doing just fine. Amen?
Amen.
But you might be leaning back. Whoa. You're not moving, but you're just hoping you're not moving back. You know what I'm talking about? There's a difference between being ahead and ready to fall over backwards. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to where? It leads to death. That is not where you want to be. Amen? Leaning back. There are some, you know, Pastor Dave talked about, did you say conning yourself or lying to yourself? Lying to yourself. If you are leaning back, trying to hold your position and leaning back, there are some lies that you tell yourself. One, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm not doing so bad. You know, I used to be doing really bad. You know, I've seen God do some stuff in me, but realistically, this whole next thing that the Lord wants from me requires much too much energy and much too much work. And I'm okay. Just where I'm at. leaning back, stuck on the back of your heels. Am I talking? You know, anybody know what I'm saying? Your memory can get a little bit fuzzy. You know, it really wasn't so bad anyway. All this effort, all this work, oh man, wasn't so bad. There were some good times. I don't hurt the way I used to hurt. Wasn't so bad. I'm okay. One of the other lies that you can tell yourself, I think I can handle it now. Have you used that one? Maybe just one beer. Oh, yeah. Maybe just one line. Maybe just one toke. Maybe just one movie. I think I can handle it. You go right back to that situation that caused your collapse. And you think you're different. I went to I went to Bible college with a guy named Cliff. I don't remember his last name. He was there the first semester I was there. And he used to run meth with the Hell's Angels in Utah. Machine guns, all kinds of stuff. I mean, he was a hardcore guy, and he got radically saved. He went to Teen Challenge in the Bronx. And he graduated after a year-long program in Teen Challenge in the Bronx. And then he went to TCMI, the Teen Challenge Ministry Institute, for a year. And he got a Bible degree. And then where I was going to Bible college, Bethany, they were starting a brand new drug counseling program. And he was the cream of the crop. And they sent him to Bethany to get a two-year Bible or a drug counseling degree. And he was lit. We were all lit. We were so lit for the Lord. And so he had not been back to Utah since he'd been saved. And so now he had greater freedom than he ever did. And he was going to go back. He had two kids that were in Utah. He said, I'm going to see my kids. And it was like, oh, it's all good. It's all good. But he came back 2 weeks late for school. And it was not good. He told me what happened. He said that he started looking up some of his old connects, and he used to run with the cooks, right? I mean, come right from the cook right to the street. And he said he went to the cook, who was this weird dude, kind of into sorcery and all this stuff. And he goes, hey, give me some. Give me some. And he said, no, Cliff, you're straight. You're clean. You're good. I'm not going to give you any. And he goes, you know, he wasn't going to give me any. He wouldn't let me have any. And I said, I've been lying the whole time. It's all been a con. And he was lying to the guy because it was real. But he thought, I could handle it. And he came back 2 weeks late, a shadow of the guy that he was. He was standing still. But he was just waiting to be broken. Amen? Amen? Living stuck. God does not want you stuck. Romans 7:19, Paul writes, for what I do is not the good that I want to do. Anybody relate to that? For what I do is not the good that I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. God doesn't want you to live like that. And God is going to offer you avenues of advancement. God is going to give you a way out. Holy Spirit will come in here today. The Holy Spirit has come in here and has touched your very soul, touched your heart, touched your whole life and said, would you like a change? And the question is, what do you do with that touch? What do you do when the Holy Spirit just comes in and just puts his hand right on your chest and says, my child, I will give you an avenue of escape. I will give you an avenue of healing. Question is, will you say yes? Because he's a miracle-working God, amen? Many of you have said yes. In fact, 2 weeks ago, I preached on forgiveness, and so many of you said, yes, I have unforgiveness in my heart, and you stood up and you came forward and said, oh, Lord, here I am. I am your child. You can do anything you want because I am ready to be transformed. I am ready to be fixed. Many of you did that, amen? Some of you were too chicken to stand up. But you said those things in your heart. Said, oh, Lord, I'm afraid to stand. But that's what I want. And in the succeeding week, God so tore up your life, brought people around you that were so abrasive and arrogant and bitter, and anger began to swell up within you. And God said, there's a gap right there. We need to fill that gap in. We need to deal with that unforgiveness. Not that person. No way. I can't. It's like, well, we're talking about unforgiveness. So I'm going to bring you some people in your life that you can learn to forgive. You know, it's not like he ain't going to bring Pastor Dave and Lisa to your house and say, oh, no. He's going to bring the guy that was sleeping out on the corner where the kids are walking by. He's going to vomit on your doorstep, and then that's the kind of guy that you're going to have to forgive. Why? Because there's a gap in your life, and the Lord says, hey, you want to find progress, this is what we're going to deal with. Amen?
Amen?
Last week, we talked about guilt. And everybody came up, filled out stuff, and put it up here on the altars and said, oh, Lord, I want you to just deal with the guilt in my life. And I talked to people and said, oh, it was great. It was wonderful. I felt so good. The thing was that during the week, more stuff started coming out. See, it's kind of like the Lord made this avenue of dealing with guilt, you know, confess your sins to God, bring it to the Lord. Lord, I sinned. Lord, I am just so messed up. And stuff started bubbling out. Question is, what did you do with that? Because when it starts bubbling out, you can start jamming it down because you say, hey, I'm a pro at jamming that stuff down. I got all kinds of way to live. I mean, there is, anybody ever done stupid stuff? That stupidity just come bubbling out, you know, and you say, whoa, I'm a moron, and just jam that back down. Because why? Because we don't want to be a moron. Or maybe you have just done incredibly selfish stuff, and it comes bubbling out, I'm so selfish, jam that back in and say, give me a 40, come on. You know, kind of 40 just helps you keep that down. Or give me a piece of cheesecake. Jam that down. Yeah. Maybe you've done incredibly harmful things to people. Comes bubbling up. No. God says there's a gap. Because I want you to be able to process that stuff. When I got that stuff come bubbling out of me, I say, oh, Lord, I'm such a moron. Forgive me. And you know what he does? He forgives me. And that stuff, it's out. Yeah. It can be kind of ugly, but it's out. Lord will give you an opportunity for escape, for transformation and change. Question is, what are you going to do with it? Amen? God doesn't want you stuck. He wants you to be able to find the gaps. James chapter 1, 23 and 24. Anybody who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. You guys are all looking good. Can you imagine looking at the mirror, finding a bunch of bleh on your face and then just walking around with it on your face all day? That's what James is talking about. God wants you to discover the gaps in your life, the guilt, the unforgiveness, all the stuff that is creating the pain in your life, that you're going to do some destructive stuff to cover that pain. And he's going to manifest things in your life that are going to enable you to discover those things. Does that make any sense? All right. He would have you make an assessment or an evaluation of what is going on in your life. And you say, how did that work? You can make a physical evaluation of what is going on in your body. What is your body telling you? Because you might be so overstressed, your blood pressure could be sky high. You could have depression, you could have all kinds of stuff, and your body is telling you, you are in trouble. Can I get a witness on that?
Amen.
You know people who are displaying those symptoms? Yeah? So you look at your physical situation. You can look at your emotional situation. What are you feeling right now? Sad, anger, bitter, rage, all these things I can't control. My feelings, I just, or I'm just sad. Or I'm overwhelmed with your overwhelmed emotion right there. God would have you take an assessment of where you are, physically, emotionally, relationally. How are your relationships functioning? I know one guy in the neighborhood, didn't come to church, he has relationship with no one because he has so alienated himself from anybody who might like him that they no longer like him and no longer want to be around him. And you could take a look and say, where are my closest relationships and how are they working? Are they better or are they worse? You know what I'm talking about? Spiritually. How are you doing with God? How is your prayer life? How often are you in the Word? How late were you today? How much do you not mind missing the... All right, those of you who were on time, how off the hook was worship today? It was off the hook, right? I think there's some people that don't even know that we do worship. Oh, we just start with announcements. No. There's a whole part of the service that you guys are missing. And I'm telling you, I was right behind Paul and Ann right there. And the Holy Ghost, man, he was at least making it that far. Man, he was strong in this place. Amen?
Amen.
You make an assessment. You make an evaluation of yourself. Because sometimes things got to change. This week... You guys look like you're freezing. Yeah. Okay. When you get all humid, don't be griping at me. Lisa was out of town all week. It was birthday week for Lisa. She went up to Santa Cruz with her friends. They had a great time. Came back Friday night. And when they were gone, I was the man of the home. Well, I guess I'm the man of home anyway. But I was cooking. And when Lisa's gone, things change. Monday, I was cooking some lamb. Lisa's not a fan of lamb. And I had these lamb shanks. My mom makes these lamb shanks that are just glorious. And I had them stashed in the freezer. Lisa's gone, you know. It's like, we're having lamb, gentlemen. And I got them defrosted and getting ready to go. And they come from Australia or some of one of the other places over there by there. And so it's got this big wrapper on it. Lamb shanks. Cut that baby open. Whoa. And there was this, let's say odor, really a stench. That began to permeate from my bag, and I cut it, and it just got worse. I went, smells rotted. And I thought, initially, maybe I could save it. So I began to wash them off, you know? And JJ is in the living room, right? And he says, what's that smell? And I'm like, this is dinner, yeah! I mean, there are sometimes you have just got to go, whoa, this has got to go. And this was so bad, I wrapped it up in a bag and took it outside and put it in the trash. And JJ's walking around, you know, Axe? You know what Axe is? That the little, the teenager stuff, you know? He's like spraying all over the house. I'm like, no, dude, no. Because I'll tell you what, that Axe, it smells worse than rotten lamb does to me, anyway. But, so you make an evaluation, okay? And what you got to do is act on your evaluation. I mean, you evaluate yourself physically, spiritually, emotionally, and relationally, and you will find some gaps in your life, and you will be able to target areas that need some attention. Amen? So read and continue on in James chapter 1, verse 25. It says, but, you know, we talk about the guy who looks in the mirror and walks away and forgets he's got goo all over his face, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it. See, lots of people want to get fixed, but there is less people who want to do anything about it. Can I get a witness on that? Oh, Lord, fix me, fix me, fix me. But don't ask me to do anything. Like, we figure God is a doctor, says, fix me, doc, give me a pill. I'm fixed. I don't want to exercise. I don't want to change my eating habit. I don't want to quit smoking. I don't want to quit drinking. I want to quit. But I want to be fixed. Give me a pill. God don't work on the pill theory. God works on the work theory. Amen? He says, and continues to do it, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be, what's that word?
Blessed.
What's that word?
Blessed.
He will be blessed in what he does. And we want to be blessed in what we're not doing. God says, no, I'm going to bless what you do. So evaluate your life. Physical, spiritual, emotional, relational. It's kind of like cleaning out your fridge. I mean, I'll tell you what, you clean out your fridge, you come across some good stuff. Oh, I didn't even know this was here. We are macking this down. Oh, yeah. I forgot about this. And you know what? You do an evaluation or an assessment of your life, and you are going to see, man, relationally, whew, life is doing pretty good. I am seeing some growth physically. I've been exercising. I haven't. Some of you have. Been exercising, I'm feeling good, better than I have for years. And you know what? When you find that stuff in your life, celebrate it. You know what? Celebrate the good that is happening in your life and the good effort that you are doing.
Amen.
Question is when do you clean out your fridge?
Daily.
That's good. I'm going to move in with you. Actually, I'm not, hon. My wife is right over there. Actually, you can come and visit us often. Usually, I just being transparent here, he's like, whoa, what is that? Whoa, I think that's coming out of the fridge. And then what? It's time to clean out the fridge, right? And you can wait until things are bad. You can do it daily. You can, when you are out of balance, when you're experiencing crisis in your life, you can at that point go, okay, physically, how am I doing? Emotionally, how am I doing? Spiritually, how am I doing? Relationally, how am I doing? And you will be able to identify the area that you need to focus on to find some healing. But better than waiting until you run into a crisis or waiting until you get out of balance is to do it daily. Before you go to bed, you can just go click, 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 click. Say, you know what, man, this is out of whack. I need to work on this. You can do an assessment or evaluation. You can do it daily, weekly, monthly, and annually. And they're going to be different. I mean, you're not going to just do a, or if, you know, you're driving down the road and you're just feeling out of whack and you go, okay, boom, right there, physical, spiritual, emotional, relational, which one is it? And, oh, that's what's going on. And then you begin to start working on it. And you will determine where those gaps are in your life and where you need to focus. Make sense?
Amen.
All right, last thing. Get some help. See, most of us are stuck. You guys ever been stuck, like out in the woods, you know, or in your car, you know, mud up to the axles, you know? You get some help, why? Because you can't get out on your own.
That's right.
Most of us are stuck in our lives because we don't know how to get unstuck. And we come in here, and we're stuck, and we're kind of leaning back. We're saying, I'm okay, and it's not that bad, and I think I can handle it, and all this stuff. And you're leaning back, and you're putting on a happy face, and people come up to you and say, how you doing? Say, oh, great. And you're lying. You're lying to yourself, and you're lying to them, and sometimes we find ourselves lying to God. I'm fine, God, I don't need you in this. I can handle it. And what you do by lying is you put distance between you and the very people that can help you. Because we got a lot of people around here. I was telling that dude, laying out there on the corner, I said, look, 20 some odd years ago, I was all tore up in Sacramento. I gave my life to the Lord and learned how to live different. There's help that is here. Bible says right here, James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. What? To each other? Are you kidding me? I didn't know that was in the Bible. I thought we confessed our sins to God. Well, you do. We talked about that last week. And it unloads your guilt. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you might be healed. How many of you would like to be healed from that pain that the gaps in your life create? I know I do. Pray for each other so you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. You come to the people that are around you, instead of putting on a happy face, you can come and just say, I am so messed up. I am so tore up. When I was first saved, I used to confess to everyone around me. I realized that there were some inappropriate things that I had shared with women that I should have only shared with men. But I was an open book, man. I was just like oozing garbage out of my life all over the place. I wanted to get it out. You put on a happy face and you put some distance between the very people that can help you in the midst of your situation. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ and He will put you on the road to health and fullness. And you know what? We're pretty good about that around here. Pastor Paul, going through Revelation on Wednesday nights. Lisa, teaching a class on Wednesday nights to the ladies. Pastor Ramiro downstairs, all of our teachers to even grammar school, preschool, youth. Anytime you come here, you're going to get the Word of God. But you come down that road to health, and sometimes you've got some baggage. Amen? We have been less than fabulous around here in dealing with the baggage. And that is why we are starting in 8 days to celebrate recovery. Lisa, you want to come up here and play, please? This ministry, dealing with all this stuff, all these gaps in our lives that manifest pain and hurt that we try to medicate ourselves, the pain and the hurt, and get away from, and we just create more and more problems in our lives. This program in 8 days is going to help deal with that. Anybody hurting? Anybody got a pattern of this garbage, this baggage in your lives? Anybody got a pattern of lying to themselves? I'm okay. I think I can handle it. It wasn't so bad. God doesn't want you stuck. God wants you to be transformed in your life and in your situation. Bible says, confess your sins one to another that you might be healed. What I've got up here is I got some invites. Made these up for Celebrate Recovery. Program to be healed. Lord's providing an opportunity for many of you here this morning. An avenue of escape, an avenue for healing, And the real question is how are you going to respond? I hope that you can take a page out of my book and just say, I am so messed up. I am so tore up that I can't smile anymore. I don't want to be fake. I want to be healed. I'm hoping that you can confess your sins one to another. Pastor Dave, you want to come up here? He's got some more of these. You can stand right over there, bro. So you might come up and talk to Pastor Dave. Say, you know what? I can't control my drinking. He's going to give you one of these. He's going to pray with you. It might be anger. I'm so angry all the time. I can't get a control of my anger. Julie Camacho, would you come up here for a sec? You're a lady. You don't have any inappropriate stuff going on, the way I did. You might come up with Julie and say, Julie, I'm just bitter. I'm a gossip. Doesn't have to be anything more. But it's good to confess because it leads to healing. Pastor Paul and Ann, you guys would just come right up here. We're going to sing some songs. I have invitations. I got roadmaps right here to healing in your life. But for you to get that, you're going to have enough guts to come on a Monday night. And for you to get that, I'm thinking a great step is going to be to come up here. You could share a whole story, or you can share one word. And avenues to healing. Be open. Amen? Stand with me, will you? Lord, too many of us have been stuck for too long. Lord, we have seen your mighty hand come into our lives and start transformation, and we get to roadblocks, Lord. We get to roadblocks. We get to these areas in our lives, Lord, that we want to shield off from you and we want to just manage them ourselves. And Lord, today is a day to stop. Today is a day to stop. Today is a day to come and confess a need for help, to come and confess a need for transformation, to come and grab on to an avenue of escape. Lord, I pray for each person here, Lord. There's so much pain. For that person who raised up both hands saying, oh, there's so much hurt in my life. I am praying for boldness to come. Just move out from your chairs. We begin to speak, to sing. Come up to one of these people. Share the challenge that you have. Get a roadmap to the healing of the Lord. Amen.